Kids to Children's Church. Miss Tony is talking to Mr. Marty. Oh, there she is. Miss Tony is in back, and she's going to take the kids down to the fellowship hall area. I'm going to grab something from back here. The last couple of weeks, we've been talking about, just kind of some sermons on things that God's been working on me with. 2 weeks ago, we talked about rest, Sabbath rest. And then last Sunday, I got up here and said I went all week and I didn't have one after preaching on it. So I said, this week, I'm going to make sure that I do. So I actually looked at the calendar and kind of said, okay, what day do I know that I could just have a day where I'm not focused on anything, you know, related to church right now, which is my job. And so I chose, because we didn't have an adult Bible study on Wednesday, I chose Wednesday. And I said, well, if I go from Tuesday night to Wednesday sundown as my Sabbath this week, I said, you know, that way I could still be up here Wednesday night. So I tried that this week. And last week I talked about spiritual warfare and how, you know, when strange things happen. Can I tell you, Satan doesn't want you to have a day of rest. I saw those two sermons just come together, God, where you know, I was trying as hard as I could not to focus on church stuff, but Satan at the same time was just burning up my phone, you know, just, you know, text after text. And so I finally decided, I said, God, I'm going to trust that you're going to take care of these things. And I started texting people back. I'll be in the office at 5 o'clock tonight. Let's talk then. I'll be in the, so if you got that text for me this week, know I love you, know I care about you, but I was trying to be refilled that day instead of focusing in on work. I challenge you this week. Pick a day of rest, whether it's Sunday or if Sunday is a work day for you, pick another day, but you're going to have to be committed to this. You have to say, God, yeah, I'm going to take today and really let Satan kind of remind you about God. You know, when those things starts buzzing on your phone or something starts getting your mind off it, say, okay, hey, that's a good time for me just to stop and say, I trust you, God. And take a deep breath and just say, you take care of that and I won't. So today we're going to go a little bit different direction. We are in a point in our church where we're trying to decide, what's our church all about? What's the future of our church about? Where we're going to be? What kind of church are we going to be? As a staff and as a church as a whole, we've been working through this for about the last year and a half, kind of just asking that question, what kind of church are we going to be? And we have come up with kind of vision statements. We're working on a logo. We're doing all kinds of things. But today I just wanted to stop because, you know, what I see ahead of us is we've got the holidays coming up and then 2019 will start. And I was going, where can we just stop real quick and look at the vision of our church? So that's what we're going to do today. Let me start with this question. The question I want to ask you today is, for a church, what is the purpose of a church? What is the purpose of a church? Now, there's lots of good answers that you could fit in that blank. In fact, does everybody have a, you know, one of these? It should have been in your bulletin. I'd love for you to have one. If you don't, most of the notes you're taking, there's only like three or four blanks on there. But if you don't have one, if you could raise your hand. Marty and Joel are at the back. Does everybody have one? We got a couple up here. Ethel Ray and Tina Fey, is that what? Yes, ma'am. So here's what I want to say. You know, one answer that could fit in there, obviously, is to tell people about Jesus. There's all kinds of words in there. But the word I want to talk to you about today is the purpose of the church, the purpose of God's family, the purpose of those who are in Christ, is to grow. Grow. Now I know that sounds kind of strange. You know, the purpose of the church is to grow. But I want to turn to Matthew chapter 28. And you know this one, even if you don't turn there. To the Great Commission. In Matthew 28, in verses 18 through 20, I'll read it for you. It says, then Jesus came to them and said. Now this is after Jesus had died. He had resurrected. And he came to his disciples, he said, then Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. He said, look, I'm fixing to tell you what you need to do. And he said, I want you to know, all authority has been given to me. And he says here, therefore, because of this, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So here's what he said. He said, here's your purpose. Go find more people. Here's your purpose. Go out into the world. Find some people that don't know me. Find some people that are disconnected to me. Find those people. Bring them in. It says, disciple them. Make them disciples. Teach them. Baptize them. Now I wasn't the best at math in school, but I'm thinking if I'm going out and finding more people and bringing them in, 1 + 1 = 2, 2 + 2 = 4, 4 + 4 = 8, what we're doing there is we're growing the body of Christ. That's what Jesus said. He said, all authority is given me. I'm going to give you your marching orders as the body of Christ. Get out there and grow. Get out there and grow. Find some more people. Now, we have a little bit of trouble sometimes with that thought. You know, as pastor, when I get up and say, hey, you know, as a church, we need to focus on growth this year, there's a little bit of ickiness to it because we look at people that have done it incorrectly, right? We look at some of those big churches with the fancy schmancy preacher. I guess I shouldn't say that. There's probably some good things about those churches. But we think about those people we've seen on TV where the preachers have their own jet and they have this huge mansion and all this money is coming in, and we kind of go, oh, that doesn't feel right. And all their interest is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And as a reaction to that, when we get up and say what Jesus said, which is your purpose is to grow, we kind of have that back. But, you know, No. We want to teach. We want to teach. Now we want to help somebody. You know, don't focus in on growing. But I come back and say that's what Jesus said. Jesus said, get out there and get some more people in here. In fact, let's look at what happened in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2. And verses 38 through 41. Trey, you done got me going up here. Okay, I'm feel better. In Acts chapter 2, verses 38 through 42, it says, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. He was doing what Jesus told him to do. He was going out there and finding people. And he said, let's get them baptized. He said, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, all whom the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted the message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. We can't be scared of growth. I mean, that's the first thing God did, is he said, get out there and find some lost people. Tell them about the love of God. Tell them about that the road they're going down right now is the wrong road, and care enough about them to tell them there's a better way, and bring them in and teach them that better way. And God wasn't afraid of numbers. I mean, he didn't say, you know, some people, you know, he said, there were 3,000 people. That's a mega church. You know, right there, you know, and we kind of look at some of those mega churches, and we kind of go, oh, you know, what are they doing over there? But God said, you know, instantly we're going to form a mega church. Boom. And here were 3,000 people. Now, after that, we look at the very first church. It says, those 3,000 people and the people that were already following Christ, in verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And then watch this. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And so we have this huge movement of God to start it all out. But then, in that first church, It said this. It said, they started living like Christians. They started living out these truths. You know, Jesus said this. Jesus said, go out into all the world, make disciples, and teach them what I've told you. And they said, well, isn't that a great idea? Isn't that a great idea? We got these 3,000 people. Let's teach them some of the stuff that Jesus taught us. Let's teach them about the Word of God. Let's teach them about prayer. Let's teach them about fellowshipping. Let's teach them about giving to one another. Let's teach them about going out into the community and not just being in the homes, but actually getting out into the city. Let's teach them about those things. And an amazing thing happened that when they started doing it that way, it says that God added to their number daily. They grew. They grew. He said, here's your purpose. Grow. Here's your purpose. Do the thing. Teach them what I've been teaching you. And all of a sudden, we see God growing. I mean, and this was, it said daily. I thought that was interesting. It said, while they were living this out, it says, daily, God was bringing more and more and more people. It's almost as if you kind of shine your light, God's going to start attracting people daily. Here's what we came up with as a staff, and as we were praying through this and as we were talking through this. As Waller Baptist Church, we are going to unashamedly, in the next year, 2 years, 3 years, focus on growth. We're going to focus but we're not going to focus on the bad growth. We're going to focus on this growth. We're going to focus on growing the way that God did it. And we're going to prepare and get ready and be as prepared and ready as we can possibly be when God starts sending the people. It's why we're in the midst of, you know, trying to figure out what a new building on new property looks like. As you can see, we've got lots of seats in here. We don't need a new building. We don't need new property. But we feel like God is going to send growth, and we're going to take a step of faith and say, if God's going to send growth, we better get ready for it. And as soon as we did that, you know, they came out in the paper that says 1,000 new homes are going to be built in Waller. And I just said, okay, God, were you waiting? You know, is that what it was? Were you waiting on us to say, we're going to do what you asked us to do? And all of a sudden, boom, here it comes. We've got 2 years. In 2 years, 1,000 people, 1,000 homes. 2.5 people per home. Don't know about that 0.5 person. 2.5 people, that's the tweeners, right? The 0.5s. 2.5 people per home. That's 2,500 people are going to be moving into Waller. And if we do this right, and we trust God, and we prepare, there's going to be a brand new place right on 362, ready and waiting for them, as if we expected God to do what God said he was going to do. Now, we've got to move, people. We can't sit here and wait for this to happen. We can't sit here and go, okay, God, you know, we've got to say, God, if we look at your word and see what these people did and what you did, maybe we need right now to start doing that. And so as a staff, we said, what three things? If we looked at this scripture, if we look at what we're good at, what three things does our church need to focus on to grow? We came up with three things. The first thing we came up with was, we need to love God. Now, we see that in this scripture, right? It says, they devoted themselves to the teaching of God. They devoted themselves to prayer. Down in verse number 47, praising God. So here's what we want to say, that as a church, we need to be focused on loving God. The next thing that we see is we see connecting people. Connecting people. You know, what were they doing here? It says they were breaking bread together. They broke bread in their homes together with glad and sincere hearts. They were connecting. They were saying, how do we get together? How do we love on each other? And then finally, we said, we need to be focused on making a difference. We see in these scriptures, it says, every day they continued meeting together in the temple courts. They said, we're not just going to make a difference in our life. We're going to go out to where people are. And we're going to take what we have in our homes and we're going to go out. It says, they sold property and possession to give to anyone who had need. They said, not only, we're going to go out there, we're going to be among the people, and as we see need, we're going to financially reach in our pocket and see how we as a body of Christ can meet some of those needs. So we said that. If we want to be that picture of a church that God's ready to grow, we need to be focusing on loving God, connecting people, and making a difference. Now, how does that play out? In your notes, you're going to see I've got loving God. Let's talk about this bucket right here. Now, what you're going to find is a lot of things that we do at a church, we could say, well, that's partially loving God. That's partially connecting people. That's partially making a difference. I'm going to try to make a few distinctions. Really, there's not a perfect answer to what that exactly looks like because so many of those could go in each of the buckets. But let's talk about what goes in the loving God bucket. The word I want you to write under loving God is worship. Worship. We have to be a church that is focused on teaching and practicing worship. If we're not doing that, we're not going to grow. There's a beautiful verse I put in there. 1 Chronicles 16:23. Let me read that to you. In 16:23 it says, "Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all people. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all gods of the nation are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are his dwelling places. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of the nation, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nation, the Lord reigns." That's what we got to be about. We've got to be about worshiping God. Let me tell you a few things that go into this first bucket. Our corporate worship. What we do here on Sunday morning, the preaching of the word, the singing of praise songs. And I don't want to embarrass her, and she's looking down right now, but Macy, how you doing? I just want to tell you, yeah, wake up there. When I was sitting on the front row and I looked over you at a few of those songs, you were just worshiping up here. And I want to tell you, that really affected me this morning. And I don't know if y'all noticed that, but wow, it brought me into worship, just watching you worship up there. Mom, you were doing a good job too, but you know. That's what it's about. We come in here, and we need that attitude. We need that, you know, our attitude too often is we come in here, and oh, it's Sunday morning again. Okay, you know, John's got a couple of songs. We're going to sing a couple of songs. Okay, Blake's got a message. We'll listen to the message. All right, it's time to go. That's kind of sometimes our thing. We've got to get to the point where we come in here excited about worship, listening to the songs, listening to the words of the song, listening to the message that's being preached, and going, how do I apply that? How do I let that strengthen me? How can I do what the scriptures are saying where I'm going, man, God, you're incredible. Can you think about maybe some of the things you saw God do incredibly this week? Can you think about some of the things where you need God this week and only his power can get you through it, and then process that through this corporate worship we're having? You know, what else goes in this? Personal worship. Our prayer time. You know, we need to be a church that's focused on prayer. We got a prayer team now. We put it together about a month ago, and those guys have been praying for this worship time. They've been praying for our church. But in 2019, I'm going to ask that prayer team to specifically start moving us towards praying for growth. And we're going to start asking you as a church to start specifically praying for our church. We're going to have some calendars made up. We might have special time on the first Sunday of every month where we're in here. We take time just to stop and pray. We got to be about loving God. What we've been talking about, that rest, the Sabbath rest, that being refilled daily, weekly, our quiet times, our scripture reading, our personal worship. That all goes into this bucket. If our church would be just about that, wouldn't that be kind of awesome? The fact that we're focused in on our Heavenly Father, we're figuring out how to apply it in our lives, we're doing it together, we're doing it individually, we're loving God. But can I tell you, if that's all we did, we wouldn't be doing what God told us to do. We wouldn't. The next one that you'll see is connecting people. Turn over to Matthew chapter 22. In Matthew 22, in verse number 36, it says this. I'm almost there. 22:36. It says, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So that's bucket one. Thank you, Jesus. You just told us bucket number one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. I always heard that, that way that he was speaking, it brought to mind that picture of a scale. And when he said, this one is like it, it's like saying, worship God, but also balance that out with loving one another. You see, if we just focused on loving God, that's good for us. God loves that, don't get me wrong, but our purpose is to grow. Our purpose is to be able to encourage each other to get out there and to share the love of Christ with more people. And so he said the second is really important. In fact, it's as important. We have to connect with each other. We weren't built to do this alone. We weren't. If you're out there trying to do it alone, then you're going to have a great time with God, but you're going to have, when those hard times hit, you're not going to have any encouragement. When you hit that scripture you don't understand, you're not going to have anybody to bounce it off of. You don't have anybody praying for you. You don't have anybody encouraging you. We have to learn how to connect with each other. Over and over again, the scriptures talk about the body of Christ. And it says we're all different parts of it. There's too many hands out there by themselves, and there's too many knees out there by themselves, and there's too many feet out there by themselves. And God said, put it all together. Now you're ready. What goes into this bucket? On that line, put small groups. Small groups. Small groups is our key. Our corporate worship is where we worship God, but our small groups is where you're cared for and you care for other people. If you're only in bucket number one, if you're only coming to corporate worship, then you're only doing half of what God is kind of asking you to do. You need a Sunday school. You need a small group. You need a place where people care. I was at the funeral this week of Peggy Sims, and I can't tell you how many of their family members came up to me and said, oh, you're that group of guys, because the men's ministry, we went over and we prayed over Peggy one night. And it just meant so much to them to say, oh, y'all cared so much about her and about Randall that y'all came to encourage them in the middle of their pain. That's what happens in small groups. Let me tell you what happens in a small group. Now, a small group can be any small group of people that are walking together in life with this Christian faith. Specifically here, Sunday school. I want us all to be somehow or another involved in a Sunday school, but it can also be men's ministry, women's ministry. It could be some kind of thing that everybody, if you have a bunch of guys that like to go out hunting, but on those hunting trips, y'all get together and say, hey, how can we encourage each other? How can we study God's word together? How can we pray for each other? That could be kind of a small group. But you need a consistent meeting small group. Here's what goes into a small group bucket: praying for each other, studying the scriptures together, encouraging each other, fellowshipping with each other. Do y'all see how many times in Acts chapter 2 it said they ate together? Eating together goes in there. I'm serious. It's saying, let's do life. This isn't just coming on Sunday morning and sitting in some rows and having a smaller sermon. That's not what it is. If all your Sunday school class is doing your lesson, then you're off. Right? You could do that in here. This means a group of people are walking through life together. And they're doing things and they're working things out. And when someone says, man, I've got a problem, I say, let's pray over you. And they're bringing more people in because when you start seeing people live like that, you want to be part of that. That's where, hey, Sunday school teachers, this year, if you're a Sunday school teacher this year, I want to challenge you. Make sure in your Sunday school classes, you're praying over people. Take those prayer requests. Make sure you're studying the Word of God, not just talking it, but allowing discussion to go on. And you need to be having fellowships. You need to say, let's get out of this Sunday school class and let's actually get somewhere where we feel comfortable, where you might feel more comfortable when something happens for to ask me or to ask this person or to ask that person. In fact, so many churches, that's how they grow. They're Sunday school fellowships because people feel more comfortable going to a fellowship than a Sunday school class. But when they get in that fellowship and they hear about that class where people pray about them and they study the Word of God together and they care about each other, they say, yeah, maybe I'll come to that too. Here's our two buckets. Love God. Connect people. It's what we're about here. Now, if that was it, we'd be, you know, we could say, okay, I got that. But I want to tell you something, that this isn't everything. Because there's a lot of churches that do this, but they're inwardly focused. You know, they're going, okay, you know, I care about us, but I don't really take what's happening here and move it out there into the community. Yeah, that's what we see, you know, in that Acts chapter 2. They went out to the temple. They went out into the community where all the people were. And they were looking for needs. So that moves us to our third bucket, our third reason how our church, why our church is here and how we're going to grow. And that's making a difference. Making a difference. The word that you put under there is serve. Serve. So we have worship, small groups, and serve. How are you serving? How are you taking what God has given you and using it to help other people? 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. I go all the way to almost the end of the Bible. 1 Peter 4 says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and sober-minded so that you may pray. And here we go. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. As faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. It says, here's your last bucket. Are you using your gifts and talents? I can't believe that Ed Flores was here that many years, and we never had him on the stage playing that little golden clarinet-looking thing. Right? Whatever it is. I mean, that just adds so much to the worship. You know, when you hear just those beautiful tones float in, and to think that you were here years, and we never used that. What talents do you have? And you might say, like, well, I can't sing, and I can't play an instrument. No, no, no. What do you have? What do you have? You know, I've said this before. Maybe it's just encouraging people. Maybe your area of service is writing emails or texts and just saying, encourage. You know, if you serve, serve with the strength God gave you. Maybe it's singing. Maybe it's, you know, reading something. Maybe it's working with kids. Maybe you're good at computers. Maybe it's something that you can draw. Maybe it's you're just good at fixing food. I don't know. You tell me. What strength has God given you? And the next question, are you using that strength to serve God? And if you're not in that bucket, then this isn't going to work. It's all three of them working together. What goes in that bucket? Serving goes in there. So any service area, you know, anytime, like I said, if you're working in the youth department, the children's department, our greeting team, all those areas of service, that'll go into making a difference. Outreach. Anytime we go out into the community, we've got a big turkey giveaway coming up. We're just going to give away turkeys. And by the way, the men need vegetables for the turkey day. That goes in that bucket. You know, but while I'm doing that, I'll tell you, we've got a service opportunity coming up this Saturday where we're working on the building here. It's a work day. That goes in that bucket. We're making a difference. I'll give you a little bit more information about that at the end. Outreach goes in there. Evangelism. You know, are we going out and sharing Christ? That's another big thing I'm going to make sure in 2019. We need to really focus in on saying, are we equipped to go out there and share Christ? You might say, Blake, that's not my spiritual gift. That's okay. At least equip yourself because that opportunity might come up. Benevolence. We've had a lot of benevolent needs this week. That's where people just call and say, hey, we need help. In fact, we probably went through, almost $2,000 worth of benevolent needs this week. It's neat that we were able to help, but we're dry now. I might be calling some of y'all this week and just saying, hey, would you mind giving a little bit extra to our benevolent fund? Because that's part of our making a difference. When someone can just walk in here and say, man, I've got a need. And we can say, we're ready to meet it. We're ready. So here's our strategy, guys. Love God, connect people, make a difference. Can I get everybody to say that with me? Are you ready? Love God, connect people, make a difference. That's what Waller Baptist Church is about. Amen? Are y'all with me on that? Okay, so we can grow. If we start focusing, you see, someone told me one time, healthy things grow. And if we did this, would we be a healthy church? If we were focusing on worshiping God, focusing on each other, encouraging, being the light of the community, showing people. In fact, do y'all remember that verse where it says, that Jesus said, they will know you by what? By your love. Isn't that interesting? He didn't say they would know you by your love for me. He didn't say they'll know you by your outreach. He said, they'll know you by your love. If we're doing that and we're going out and making a difference, we're ready to grow. Now, Here's our strategy. Our strategy is we've got to focus. So many churches are kind of like this. They've kind of got worship going on over here. They've kind of got Sunday school going on over there. Ooh, I knocked over Sunday school. Yeah, they may have a few outreach programs. You know, we've done that before. They're all separate. You know, none of them connect. What I want us to do is I want us to focus all three of these things and get them working together. How do you focus it? Well, you realize that we're going to be doing this in so many different areas, but I want our church this year to focus on a certain time. If we had a restaurant and the restaurant was open all day long, do y'all know when really the most important time for a restaurant to be open is? Yeah, dinner time. Really, Friday and Saturday dinner, right? I used to work in Chili's. You know, when you hit that 6 to 8 o'clock time. Now, wouldn't it be crazy if we just kind of said, you know, all the times the restaurant is open, we need to make sure we have an evenly distributed number of waiters and things going on. And, you know, no, what you're going to do is you're going to have a little bit here, a little bit there. But when it's that 6 to 8 time, you're fully ready and you're fully going because, you know, people are coming. What's that for the church? Sunday morning. Now, we're going to be this all week long. But our focus in 2019 is to say, how do we worship God? How do we love God, connect people, make a difference, specifically at the time when God's going to start bringing people in our door? We're going to focus on Sunday. What's our plan? Our plan is called Vision 24. It's a 2-year plan. We started it 1 year ago. 1 year ago, I invited everybody that wanted to hear about it to start coming out once a month on Sunday nights. We've had big crowds. We've had small crowds. We've opened it up to where if you need the, and I don't think it's in the bulletin this week, but we can get it to you. You can get online and watch all the videos. What the video showed us was a strategic plan on how to implement something like this. Now, they didn't give us this, but we kind of came up with that. But if you watch the plan, it's doing this and focusing in on Sunday morning. So if you flip your thing over, it says this. Vision 24, here's what it is. In 2019, we're going to create 8 teams that enhance our vision. They're going to be coming out of these buckets. They emphasize our spiritual gifts, our talents, and our desires. Like that scripture says, what's your gift? How can you use it? It focuses in on Sunday morning, and it reminds us to trust that God will bring guests. And we're going to stop saying visitors. If you're a visitor here today, no, you're not. You're a guest. We appreciate you being here. And we want you to know that we knew God was going to bring somebody today, and we're so glad it was you. And we want to be ready when guests walk in our door. Now, how do we do that? Here's the eight teams that we're going to try to put together. Team number one, an outreach team. This team of, I'm going to say, 5 to 8 people probably, maybe smaller, maybe bigger, their whole thing is to say, how do we get what's happening in Waller Baptist Church communicated out into the our community? Now, this is why we're doing big events. You heard Joel say that our Christmas Eve this year, Christmas in a Barn, that's one of our big events. We said Easter's a really big event. We know people are going to be on Easter. We're going to make sure that big event is communicated well. We know back to school, that's a big day. You know, we did our big back to school thing where we handed out school supplies this year. One of our biggest days of the year this year was that day. And then we said, let's do Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve doesn't always fall on a Sunday. This year it falls on a Monday. But we're actually kind of pulling it into Sunday too. We'll get you more information on that. But we said, what if we focused on those three, but every month had some kind of smaller event, like our teacher event, like our Veterans Day event, where we're constantly getting out into the community and saying, hey, we love you, and we'd love you to come to church. We'd love you to. Those are our big events. It's proclaiming and promoting what's going on here and there. Maybe that's something you just go, boy, I'd love to do that. I'd love to figure out how to do websites or do handouts or be a part of these different community things, the parade or something like that. That's the outreach team. We're going to do a first impression team. Now, we've already got some of this going from last year as we were seeing those. We started beefing up. But the first impression team, they're taking care of the parking lots. They're welcoming people at the door. They're the ushers here. If you're a guest, and someone in the parking lot said, hey, we're glad you're here today. You walked up the door and someone opened the door for you and said, man, we're so glad you're here. And you came up to an usher and they said, man, we're glad. Three times you would be welcome to Waller Baptist Church. Now, that might be annoying for some of y'all, but you can't get away from the fact that that would kind of say, wow, this church really was expecting some guests today. They really thought that God might send people. Isn't that weird? The S&A team. Creative and Technical Arts. I just put S&A. It stands for Shock and Awe. I just like that name. This team are our creatives. These are the people who kind of say, you know, Blake, could I use my creative talents on Sunday morning? I'd like to find out what your sermon is about and maybe put a drama together. I'd like to find out what that series is about. And maybe we could bring some decorations into our foyer where when people walk in the door, they're already going, oh, wow, they're going to be talking about family today. Oh, wow, they're going to be talking about learning how to do a Bible study. You know, just the creative things that are around. So it'll be your tech team, your creative team. We're going to put that together. The worship team, that'll be John. Me and John are going to get together. We're going to try to plan out a year of sermons and figure out how the music, so it just brings you into worship. And you'll see John doing this all the time. In fact, he said it when we started the service today. Every song was about these three buckets that he did today. It's trying to bring all those things together. Number five is the follow-up team. Visitation, checking in with people that have been guests. The pastor's breakfast. Y'all have heard me talk about that. Here, the goal of the pastor's breakfast is for us to start seeing people come every week and having something the next week to invite them back to. Because if people come one time, I think they said there's a 70% chance they won't ever come back again. But if they come two times, there's like a 70% chance that they're going to come back a third time. And so if you can have something you can invite them to the next Sunday, it's key. And that's where you're going to see us implementing, and that'll be part of the follow-up team. And then we're going to hope that all those things funnel people in to our small groups. So we're going to have a children's ministry team ready for children and their small groups. We've got the youth ministry team ready for the youth that are coming. And then we're going to have a small groups team who are looking at the Sunday school classes and saying, can we get better about that bucket? Now, you see, all three of these things, we've got outreach going on. We got people coming into worship, and we're saying we're going to focus on worship. We're funneling them into community groups. And then once they're in small groups, we're going to push them back into outreach, and we're going to try to get them signed up for one of these teams. So we've got 8 things that we're going to do in 2019. And we're going to hope to see God just bless the mess out of that. It's not about growing for growth's sake. It's about growing because that's what God told us to do. And God's gave us this beautiful piece of land. He gave us a vision. He gave us a great church. 2 things to close with. Number one, next week we've got the Veterans Day thing. The next week after that, I'm going to be preaching on spiritual gifts. We're going to talk about what does that mean to look at your giftedness. So it would be like if you thought, hey, I'd like to be on a certain team. The wonderful thing about Vision 24 is we're going to try to put a person on each team who has a spiritual gift of prayer, so that each team can have someone on there who's praying. We're going to make sure each team has someone who has the gift of administration on it, so there's actually a good, strong leader on each of the team. We're going to make sure that on each team, there's someone who's a teacher, who has a spiritual gift of teaching, so that as new people join the team, they'll be able to tell them what's going on. We're going to be looking at everybody's spiritual gifts, because that's what God said. He said, why don't you look at where you're gifted and serve in that way? And we think God's going to do some incredible things. The last thing I want to say is, I think if you want to kind of see some of this in action, just a little bit of it, I'll embarrass Joel now, because I've seen Joel do this with the youth ministry team. I've seen Joel pour into them, give them opportunities for worship. As we were doing I thought of these 3 big events, and I said we really need someone who's kind of in charge of this Christmas in the barn thing that we're going to do for Christmas Eve, and it's going to be really neat. And Joel just said, me and my youth team, we'll be the core of that. And I said, oh man, he's taking these people he's working with, pouring into, sharing life with, and giving them a service project to kind of bring it all together. And I said, man, yeah, there's the picture. That's the picture we want. Today, let me challenge you. As you think about this, take that home and ask yourself, where can I plug in? We're going to need you. Number 2, we're in the second year of 24 to Double. The first year was just kind of learn it. This year, starting in 2019, every month, we're going to be focusing in on one of these teams and trying to implement it. I'm going to need as many of y'all coming on those Sunday nights. You're caught up now. You know everything we know, basically. But I need our church coming together. And if we do this, I promise you, not because of me, but because of what God's Word said, 2019 will be a year of tremendous growth, because healthy things grow. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I just want to thank you right now for your word. And God, as we just go into this time of just thinking about this, God, I ask that you just put on our heart a desire to worship you. Put on our hearts a desire to get involved in a small group. Put on our hearts a desire to take things out and make a difference in our community and in this world. God, I thank you for this church. God, I thank you for each person here, because each one of them, God, has a different gift. And God, we need each person here to use that gift. So God, I just pray you put an urgency on their heart to use what you've given them. God, you give the leadership of this church the wisdom on how to implement that and to plug them in. And God, you're going to send people. God, help us be ready. God, don't let anybody walk in here and go, oh, this church doesn't care. Help us be ready. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.